He says he didn't remember. Somebody else did. All right. I'm so glad that we are here and we're glad to share this with you. But I do want to say that it is dated. The video is dated, and many things have happened since the time that video has been presented. Some exciting things that have happened, and I want to share with you the most exciting thing first. Is that okay? Usually people like to climax it, right? I want to start off with the most exciting. When God actually told me, Bobby, I want you to go and plant a church in every village and colony of every town and city of your nation, I didn't realize he was saying, I want you to plant 1 million churches. And I said, Lord, there must be somebody who is crazy enough to think they can do that, that you can actually find that person. He said, you're not going to do it. I said, really? So why are you asking me to do it? He said, no, I'm going to do it. And it's amazing because only if it is large enough, only God can do it. Amen? Anything that is so huge, it cannot happen with the strength of man. You know, in 1987, Patrick Johnson reported in his research that India had 114,000 churches, which meant it took 1,980 years to plant the first 100,000 churches. Isn't that amazing? It took a whole time. And then God put this vision into our heart. And 40 years later, amazing thing, we have planted 1 million churches now. Isn't it amazing? Can you give the Lord a hand? That is the most exciting thing that has happened. And I'm so glad that I lived long enough to see it happen. Isn't that amazing? And the only thing is I'm still alive. No. I thought I'll pass it on to Jim and let Jim continue the vision. But you know, it's exciting to see that. God was at work. God is reaching the nation. We are seeing more people come to Jesus Christ. Most recently, one of our researchers in India made another exciting information to us. You know, we all believe that when you look at the census report on India, it says we have about 2.3% of our population is Christian. And you know, we and among the Christians knew that it's not so low. We knew it was maybe 5%, some people would say, others would say 7%. I was always very generous, and I would say anywhere but at least 11 to 15% would be India's population, Christian population. But today, there is a researcher in India who has gathered information from the churches, the church planting movements, and the various groups of people that are engaged in the task of carrying the Great Commission in our country, and they have declared India has over 20% of its population is Christian. Now you can give the Lord a hand, because it's not just churches, it's people, it's individuals. So if you took 1.4 billion or 1.5 billion people and said 10%, you'd have 150 million. Now we're talking about 300 million Christ followers in my nation. And that is the most exciting thing that I can see that has happened in my lifetime. And so it's a wonderful thing. Some of you may remember and notice on the video, we said we had trained 150,000 people. And when we talk about those 150,000 people, we're talking about pastors who have churches and who are engaged in the process of doing the Great Commission. And you know what we discovered is, if we mobilize, if we envision, and we get the pastor excited and give him a goal of planting 5 churches, he'll go back to his church and he will say, we want to plant 5 churches. And the people will think, here's a crazy man. And you know, they'll look at him and they'll say, plant 5 churches? And he'll say, yeah, we're going to pray about it. And they start praying about it. And when they started to pray about it, they began to say, Pastor, we think we should do it. And they would come to the pastor and say, Pastor, now train us to plant churches. And he would come back to us and he'll say, what do I do now? And it was through that strategic effort that we began to mobilize. and envision pastors. And now 190,000 of them have been trained. They're engaged in multiplying churches. And as a result of that, we see a million churches planted in our country. And it's exciting. And I am so excited to report to you that God has done that. You know, I don't know if I told you this, but I may have. You know, I crossed 70 years of age, and I had spent 40 years working with the ministries of HBI, and we were really excited and always were excited. And they all decided they have to celebrate my wife and I's 40 years of ministry with HBI and my 70th birthday, but they didn't realize that God was putting something on my heart. And he said to me, and we've always worked with a team, and one day he said to me, Bobby, what if you were to pass on the baton on your birthday to the next level of leadership and let them start running the ministries of HBI? And so I said, okay, we'll have the appointment of a new president, and I will pass the baton on. We'll have the appointment of a new principal for the college, and I'll pass the baton on. And we released our responsibility so that today we have HBI. I serve as the president of HBI Global Partners, and we have a president in India. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we should give the Lord a big hand, because I wanted to hand it over before I actually passed away, because if I did pass away, then everybody would have been scratching their head, like when my dad passed away, who's going to be the next president? And everybody wanted to be the next president of HBI. And there was so much confusion. But now we had the privilege of just working with them, mentoring them, serving them, and working with them to be able to continue to carry out the vision. Some of you may have the question, what then are you going to do? Bobby, you can't keep quiet. You're not going to be silent. You're not going to sit in a chair. You're not going to relax. You're not going to find a nice, comfortable place and do nothing. You're right. I can do nothing. I have to do something. So God has put into our heart that we would go to the countries in Asia and take a number of the things that we have learned. We did start a movement in Nepal, but I think we overindulged into Nepal and put a building in there, put a staff in there, and spent a lot of money that we have to start raising money for, because it'll take another 5 to 10 years before it can become indigenous. But what God is saying to me, Bobby, you learned so many things through the efforts that you did at HBI, and the most significant thing is that you could bring pastors together and allow pastors to catch a vision and allow those pastors to multiply churches. And what I want you to do is to go into every nation that you possibly can and envision the pastors. Bring them together. Mobilize them to put their arms together, like Nehemiah invited the people of Israel to join their hands together, and then allow them to actually finish the task of restoring the city of Jerusalem. Now, I'd like for you to go back and see if we can mobilize the church in country after country. So when Lynette and I go back, we'll be back in January, we'll start a process, and we'll go from nation to nation, or at least I'll go from one nation to the next nation to the next nation, try to develop relationships with pastors who had influence in the country, and then bring them together to bring other pastors together so that we can cast a vision as well as to actually enable pastors to fulfill the Great Commission in their own nation. Now, we did that with over 400 districts in our country. We called pastors to come to there. We asked them, what would it take to actually see this district reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And they would look at us and they would say, well, we're working hard to see how we can actually plant one church. And I'd say to them, if we had a church for every 1,000 people, and you had 2 million, we need 2,000 churches. And I would say to them, so how many more churches do we need to plant? They'd look at me and they would say, well, we are 150 pastors. We don't know what we can do. But I would cast that vision. How about each one, plant 5 churches and train 5 people. And when they started to do that, all of a sudden we began to see multiple churches in villages, churches being planted all over the country. Now, if God could do this in India, and if He could pour His Holy Spirit upon me, and I could have favor with the people in Asian countries, I believe we would see more of Asia reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And that's what we want to see happen. So I want you to be thinking about it. And that's what God is putting into our heart. Now, we've been saying this several times during the course of this service, and we said, the year is coming to an end. We're almost at the Advent. The first Sunday begins the Advent, and it's going to come to an end, and we're going to be transitioning out of 2024 into 2025. And that thought has been going through my mind. I've been thinking about it. I've been praying about it. As we've been transitioning ourselves, and we've been thinking that we are going to be going into a new perspective of what God is going to do with our lives, and we're launching into a new effort of fulfilling the Great Commission wherever God takes us, in whichever nation He puts us. But the thought went through my mind, have we started to think about it? We have 30 days. We have enough time to start preparing our heart. And this morning, what I want to ask ourselves the question is, can we begin to say intentionally, clearly, in our hearts and in our minds, can I begin to prepare for 2025 and beyond? And I believe it's time for us not to let day by day go and wait till the 30th and then say, I'm going to spend all day praying before the Lord, and then I'm going to ask Him, Lord, put a vision in my heart, and then I'm going to come back on church on the first Sunday of the year and give you a testimony that God told me this is what we're going to do. It may happen, but can I ask you to think about it and ask yourself the question, can I start praying from now and not wait till the 31st so that I can start being in the presence of God, start listening to the voice of God, allow God to intimidate me, and can I pressure you guys to think about something bigger than what you can do? And I promise you, if He begins to work in your heart, in your mind, it's going to be bigger than what you can do. If you on the 31st come back to yourself and say, this is what I'm going to do, and it's not big enough, I would almost say it didn't come from the Lord. But if you actually come away and you say, Lord, it's so big, unless you do it, it's not going to happen. Amen? And so I want you to start praying now. I want you to start thinking about it from now. I want you to go back home, even as you gather around your dining table, say, Lord, we're going to start thinking about it. Lord, disturb me. Don't let me sleep. Don't let me eat. Don't let me do work and let me walk away. Lord, put it into my heart. Because, you know, when you read the book of Nehemiah, it says, and God put something into Nehemiah's heart. And it was so big, I don't think he was ready to share it with anybody. Because they would not have believed it that God said to Nehemiah, it's not about the wall, Nehemiah. It's about the people. It's about the city. It's about restoring my glory and allowing my righteousness to return to the people of Israel, and that their commitment to me will be so great that we will carry out the mission that God puts in your heart. And I want to say this morning that if you would actually take a moment and say, Lord, prepare me for 2025 and beyond, God will have an amazing plan for our lives. And God will take us and He will use us. Now I want to tell you the story of the Apostle Paul in the context of this mindset. In the book of Philippians, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And he tells them, and they're really worried about Paul. And he says, my imprisonment is actually for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Here is a man, he's shackled down. He's behind bars. He can't go any place. And he's telling his disciples, guys, I want you to understand that my imprisonment is going to be for the furtherance of the gospel. And you know, if you were the church at Philippi, or if you were like me, you would ask the question, so what? How is it going to be for the furtherance? And you know what Paul said? Now that I'm in prison, those of you who are not preaching the gospel actually will begin to preach the gospel. And I believe as we begin to prepare for the future, as we begin to prepare for 2025 and beyond, as we begin to ask the Lord, Lord, how can you take my life and make my life to count for eternity? No matter what is happening with everybody that is around you, you'll begin to come to the realization that it is for the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will pick it up and you'll say, Lord, I will do whatever it takes. And I want you to look at chapter 3 with me, because actually, chapter 3 has very significant principles, what Paul is going to share to the church at Philippi. He says, guys, I want you to understand, I know I'm in prison. I know that, you know, if you're worried about me, but I don't want you to be worried about me. In 4, he's going to say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, because you can do anything in Christ Jesus. But in chapter 3, he's saying, I want you to understand, there's something that happened to me, and I want you to get a hold of what happened to me. I was going down Damascus Road and boom, God stops me. I thought I was doing the greatest thing under the face of the earth, and I was wiping out the Christians and making sure that they're persecuted, making sure that they would come to an end. And all of a sudden, I see this light. And when I see this light, my whole life changes. He didn't know what was going to change, but he ran into this light and God begins to change his life. And he says, Paul, I want you to understand, I got a mission for you. I want you to understand that my mission for you is that you're going to go and you're going to reach the Gentiles. Excuse me, Lord. Gentiles. Yeah, you're going to go out there and you're going to reach the Gentiles. And God gives him a perspective and a plan for his mission on Damascus Road. And he says to the church at Philippi, church, I want you to understand, if there was anybody that thought that they had the righteousness that would make them presentable and acceptable to God, I'm he. But you know, when I converged with God and when I came to the place in my life where I saw and understood who God is and what he really is doing, I began to realize all the righteousness that I had was as filthy rags. And then he says to the church, you know, that's when I came to realize that I'd rather be found in Christ Jesus and have the righteousness of God than my own. And on that journey, he says, I came to realize God's righteousness. I came to realize that I need to know Christ. I need to know the power of his resurrection. And I need to know what it means to conform to the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And really, when you look at the text and you look at the language of that text, it's really, really exciting, because Paul is not saying, I have arrived. He's actually saying, there is something to be known. I'm continuously understanding it, but I have never arrived at it, and I want to get there, and I want to be able to experience it. Because you know what? It's directly related to the high calling that I have in Christ Jesus. This morning I want to suggest that you and I have a calling in Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh man, you're gonna sleep on me. No sleeping when I'm preaching, okay? I may come up to you and wake you up, all right? So don't try. Ask your wife or your husband to nudge you, all right? All right. We all have a calling in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
See, now I woke you up. So you realize that we have a high calling. It's very interesting that Paul uses that word high in that text. And when he's writing to the church at Philippi and he says, I want you to understand that I am pursuing after and I want to reach and meet up to God's expectation by accomplishing his expectation on my life by reaching out to the high calling that I have in Christ Jesus. That word high is saying the calling didn't come from on earth. That word high is actually saying it came from above. And all of us have a calling. Some of us may understand I'm skilled. Some of you may understand that I have an education. Some of you may understand I have been trained to do certain things with my life. And I have an ability to actually do it. And I can do it well, and I have done it well all these days in all of my life. But I want to suggest that maybe there is something more to all of us when we come to realize, when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we enter into that relationship, we realize that God has a calling that actually comes to us that is from above, and it's what Paul calls the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus. This morning, I'd like to propose to you that what Paul is saying in that text, there are at least three things that he does in order to pursue that high calling. There's at least three things that he does. And I think for the next 30 days, if you take time and you begin to ask yourself the question, Lord, do I understand this high calling? Do I really perceive and have come into convergence with the fact that I know, God, without a doubt in my heart, that my call is not about being the professional that I am, but it's more than that, and I want to do exactly what you want me to do, and I want to incorporate your call upon my life and be able to do exactly what you want me to do so that I'm fulfilling your mission and not my own. And I believe one of the things that we constantly have to remind ourselves is we can become professionals and be so professional in what we do, we can miss out on what God wants us to do. I don't know if you've ever heard about a book that is written, it's called The Monday Morning Atheist. Have you ever heard of that book, The Monday Morning Atheist? You know who that is? The average person that's sitting in a church is the Monday Morning Atheist. Because you know what? He likes to come to church. He'll lead in the choir. He'll sing in the choir. He'll play the musical instruments. He'll teach all the Sunday school classes he can possibly teach. And he'll really be a light in the midst of a world of darkness, except everybody in church knows about Jesus, right? But he's there. But Monday morning comes, and he goes to work. And when he walks into the office, he has converged with the world, and he's no longer that same light in the midst of darkness. And it's so important for us to realize, one of the things that we're doing is in constructing that professional training center. And the professional training center is for professionals, because you know what they say? We don't know what to do on Monday morning. Yes, you're right. The author of that book, Monday Morning Atheist, is absolutely right. I am his case study, they would say. Because when I get in on Monday morning, I'm in the midst of the world. I'm in the midst of Hindus. I'm in the midst of Muslims. I'm in the midst of the agnostic. I'm in the midst of the atheist. None of them want to believe in God, and I don't know what I should do. And it's a sincere statement made by many million Christians who walk into work on Monday morning. And I want you to think about it, because this is the call that God wants to place on our life. And the Apostle Paul says, I have a calling. It's just not a calling. It's not a profession. It's just not a capacity and an ability, just not a giftedness, but it is a clear awareness that Christ put into my heart to help me understand that I'm no ordinary individual. I have been influenced by Jesus Christ. He's invaded my innermost being, and now I have to fulfill his call every moment of every day. Amen? So, church, how do we do it? How can the next 30 days count for eternity? How can the next 30 days, as you spend time with the Lord, say, God, help me to prepare for 2025 and beyond? Three things Paul says. After having made that statement, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to be able to confirm to the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you guys to know, not that I have already apprehended, nor have I reached or perfected and come to the place where I can say that I know without thing, but I'm still pursuing after. What Paul is doing in that context is, he's intentionally evaluating himself 24/7. In the next 30 days, can you take a moment and say, God, help me to be intentional. Not that I have already reached the state that you want me to be engaged in carrying out your mission, but Lord, I want you to get me to the consciousness that I'm constantly asking myself, am I evaluating? Am I actually doing what you want me to do? Am I actually carrying it out? Paul is saying, I have not. And what he's saying when he says, I have not, is he's saying, I know where I am in the continuum. And I have to get there. And I'm going to pursue after it, and I'm going to work on it so that I reach it. And he says, I want to get over there one way or the other so that I'm meeting up to the expectation of him who called me. And so it's important. I remember when I worked in a bank, and one of the headlines in one of their newsletters was simply this: we've had an amazing year, and we are ending the year, and we're going to start a new year. And when you read the article, all that they did was they quoted all the great things that they had accomplished. But then they looked at themselves and they said, if you're going to reach out to where we as a company want to get to, here are some changes we need to make in our lives. And if we make these changes, we are likely to reach what is intended by the board of our company. But we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve the sovereign God. We serve the one who created the heavens and the earth, not just an ordinary company board. We are the children of the King. The question is, have I come to the place where I know what his call is upon my life? And have I come to the realization that I am a member of his mission? And do I know what I need to change in order to reach that goal? And this morning, I want to encourage you. The next 30 days, will you think about it? Will you pray about it? Will you ask yourself, God, I want to make a difference. I want to make my life count for eternity. Lord, 2025 is coming. I'm not just going to look at 2025, but 2025 and beyond. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? And Paul says, not only have I come to the realization, not only he intentionally evaluates himself, but he also intentionally makes a choice to move forward. He says, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press forward towards the things that are before me. And it's important that we begin to realize that there are things that happen in our lives. And when those things happen in our lives, what happens is we begin to continue to do what we want to do. Okay? And sometimes there are good things that happen in our lives. Sometimes there are very tragic things that happen in our life. Yesterday we were having a short conversation. And you know, an individual was preparing and trying to be able to reach a standard and be accepted in the workplace that she was working in. But something happened and it all fell apart. And in the context of the counseling experience, they made a simple question. Will you do whatever God wants you to do? And an honest, transparent answer. And that's because she was able to evaluate herself. She said, I am angry with God. And sometimes because of what happens in our lives, sometimes because of the successes we have, we build and live on our successes. Sometimes because of the tragedies we have, we let those tragedies hold us from moving forward. This morning, I want you to think about those things. As you think about, God, what is this calling that you have in my life? And Lord, what is it that you want me to do that will make me the most effective instrument in 2025 and beyond? Lord, help me to put aside. Help me, like the Apostle Paul, to forget those things that are behind. And help me to stretch continuously. The language he uses is that I will continuously stretch moment by moment, 24/7, to press towards the high calling that I have in Jesus Christ. And the last thing that I want to emphasize is reaffirm, intentionally reaffirm your vision that God has placed in your heart. You have to be at the place in your life where you're saying to yourself, I know this is my call. I know this is where I am in the journey. I know there are things that have blessed me, things that are holding me behind, but I need to press forward. But where am I pressing forward to is the absolute call that you've got from above. And if you keep remembering that, you'll never throw in the towel. And I want to tell you, there's so many times in my journey when I wanted to throw in the towel. When people criticized, when resources didn't show up, when things were becoming more tense and people were fighting with one another. It was easy for me to say, Lord, it's time for me to vacate. And he would say to me, no, Bobby, the mission is not done. But now that we have a million churches, I do feel, not that the mission is done, but God's purpose for me to enable and immobilize and envision the people of India, but not the rest of the world. And friends, we have to come to that place. The problem is we get challenged by things in our lives and we don't like to let it go on. Let me tell you the story and I'm done. Two young people in a school. This is very indigenous to my country. They like to play marbles. You know marbles? Okay. They like to play marbles. And they would play against every one another among all the students in the school. And after they had played, two people came up to each other and they said, you know, I'm better than you. And so John said, no, you're not better than me, Paul. I am better than you. So John said, I'll tell you what, we'll have one game. One game. And if I beat you, you give me all the marbles you have in your pocket. And if you beat me, John said, I'll give you all the marbles in my pocket. So Paul looked at him and he said, okay, all the marbles. Yes, he said, all the marbles. So they play the game. And guess what? Paul loses and John wins. So now Paul has to to give away all his marbles. Puts his hand inside the pocket, and the moment he touched it, he realized, oh my goodness, my very first marble I ever had, very special marble. Every time I use that marble, I win. I should have played with that marble. And he said, man, I don't want to give that up. That's a very special marble. It makes me successful. I want to keep that marble. I'll give him everything. And he pulls that one aside, holds it with his fingers. And of course, John doesn't know that he's holding back on something. And so he gives him all the marbles. And Paul, of course, is very happy. He got all those marbles. But sometimes when God calls us to make changes in our lives, God calls us to prepare. God calls us to move forward. God calls us to go to another level. You know what he's going to do? He's going to ask you to make sacrifices. Sacrifices of tradition, sacrifices of what makes you feel successful, sacrifices of things that you're courageous about. And we know it. I don't have to tell you what they are. You know it, what's not taking you to the next level, what's not letting you to fulfill what's the higher calling. You know it. You put your hand in your pocket and you feel it. There's no way of getting away from it. And sometimes because of that, intentional effort of holding on to what gives you success when God says, let it go. I got a big plan for your life. Let it go. Bobby, you can be a theologian or you can be a church mobilizer. Bobby, you can be a church planter or you can be a theologian. It was easy for me to say I'd like to be a theologian, and then God said, no. You want me to take you places? Let me teach you to plant churches, to mobilize the church, to reach the unreached, to take the next generation and empower them to work with children, to find the professional and train them. And when I said, okay, Lord, he began to open those doors and the impossible became possible. 1 million churches? Impossible, Lord. 2025 and beyond. Can your life count for eternity? Because you say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have a plan for our life. We thank you for bringing us through 2024. We thank you, Lord, it's the last month and we've started it. And Father, we're going into another time and a new period, 25 and beyond. Father, there's some of us that are old and we're looking and wondering, Lord, what does this mean to me? And Father, for every breath that you give us, may we ask ourselves the question, how can we fulfill the higher calling that you have placed upon our life? And like the Apostle Paul, we will say, I have not accomplished. I have to finish it. And we'll forget the past. We'll press forward to the prize of the high calling by keeping our eyes and our minds focused on the call that you placed in our life. But Father, for those of us who are young in this congregation, who are truly seeking and saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be your instrument. I want you to do whatever you want me to do. But Lord, I'm stuck because I want to do it my way. Will you help them see your higher calling, your greater call upon their lives, so that the rest of their life can be used for your glory to bring people into your relationship? We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.